Blog Talk Radio.
Vacation. I miss y'all.
Welcome
boys.
Back.
I miss Mike. Now I'm back, so I'm back in the saddle. Let's go. What's up? What I miss? What's been going on? What's the house, man?
Nothing, man. Chillin'. What up, world? It's your boy Bone. Ain't nothing. T?
What's going on, everybody? How you feeling?
Hell, he's in a good mood today.
Yeah.
Did he do something to dig? Because he's getting y'all a little more today. That's what's up, though, man. I'm happy to be back in the saddle. If you can't tell, you'll find out in a minute. With that, we'll move right into our in the know, as we always do to start off the show. First topic. Tennessee man arrested for threatening to kill President Obama. Mm-hmm. A Tennessee man left his name and threats to kill President Obama and other politicians in 3 voicemail messages with the State Office of Homeland Security in Nashville. He stated in the voicemails, quote, "I'll light Nashville up," end quote. He's set to appear in court on one charge of harassment. He also faces a 2012 charge for driving under the influence and is being held on a $25,000 bond for both charges.
Well, you explained it all. Under the influence.
He had to be.
He on something.
But what
called
him?
He left
his name.
He's on something. You explained it. When you say driving under the influence, I get it. You had me stopped in the beginning. But when you threw that little wrinkle in there.
But you know that was in 2012.
It don't stop.
They can't
okay.
stop.
Okay.
It don't stop.
We understand now.
Man.
He left.
This is the president.
Yeah. He left a his name.
You left a voicemail.
The name was.
You left three. Oh, man.
He left three. The Homeland Security.
Oh.
He didn't call the city council office.
Oh, wow.
Man, this is wrong on so many levels. In the age of technology.
Yes.
You revert to calling, picking up a phone, and leaving a voice message of a threatening type. As if they couldn't trace your phone. But you didn't even give them that. You didn't leave them that much work to do. I'm going to tell you who I am.
I want you to know.
Tennessee.
And he said, I light Nashville up.
Yeah. He's old school.
And in these days and times, bro, you got to look at it, too.
I light Tennessee.
We so scared of tourism. You tell my lighting up. You know,
right.
The first thing going in mind, they're going to put the whole state in a national emergency.
That's what he wants. Don't bring him here. I don't want to see him here. That's what we trying to tell y'all.
My boy.
I laid it up, man.
Left his name, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on that.
Yeah, man. I had to hit on that one, because when I read it and he left his name, and it was three voicemails, I was like, wow. Moving on to our next topic. Woman posted selfie, in stolen dress. Police investigating the theft of clothing and jewelry from a Southern Illinois boutique say they arrested a woman after she posted Facebook photos of herself wearing one of the stolen items.
Oh.
Authorities say a distinctive leopard print dress was among the items stolen. The store's co-owner said she posted about the stolen items on Facebook and that people who saw the woman's posting made the connection and helped the police.
Are they tied? Are they linked in any way?
No, this was in Illinois, that's in Tennessee. But I just was like, this must be the in the know version of the world's craziest or dumbest criminals. She
got to be related to the.
Oh, they get the same thing.
She got to be related to the one that went on, got on Facebook when he broke into people's house.
Yeah,
they must be cousins. Ain't they cousin? We gonna make them cousins. Because that's just ridiculous.
And then it's a unique dress. So on top of the fact that you done stole it, and it's from a boutique. The boutique usually only have their line of clothes.
Yeah, designer.
It could be more than one.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Man.
I don't have nothing to say.
What can you say?
What, listen, when will we learn... That.
Don't put yourself in that. Say they. You can say it's okay to say they.
Okay, where will they learn?
Right.
That. Where would they learn that? Don't be putting all your business on Facebook, man. These people are watching this. They are watching Facebook.
Regardless of what you Facebook or not, privacy is dead. There is no such thing as privacy. But I ain't gonna bring you to work. You gotta come get it. If I make it work, you gotta
what they say, get on your job. You gotta get on your job. You can say that, get on your job, get on your job. You're gonna have to try.
It's commendable, be criminal. You know what I mean? Like, that's a question.
Correct.
Well, like I said, who calls in on them? Keep their name in the president of the United States. Well, they only have one item of everything and put the picture on Facebook. And you must be some kind of way connected to the
had to be close enough. Yeah.
What city? What city did that happen in?
It was in Southern Illinois. The Facebook incident.
And she probably stole something from the same town that she lives in, and everybody knows everybody.
Exactly. I'm taking this problem.
She's probably related to the girls. She's probably related to those girls. It was about four or five African-American girls who stole like $15,000 worth of hair weave from this hair boutique. And then when they got arrested, they had the hair in their head, but it didn't make them look any better. So now you have the humiliation.
I think I remember hearing something about this story. They stole
you remember
the hair.
And you got to see these mugs. You have to see those mug shots and see their face, and they have the hair in. But it just doesn't make any difference. You stole that much hair extensions, but your hair is not laid.
So if they stole the hair, they could at least put it in right and look
So at least when they take your mug shot, you look like Beyonce or something. I would have been glamorous on my mug shot.
You still that much hair though. You gotta have the best hair in the hood. You still in that much hair?
Yes. You say $16,000?
Yeah, the owner was an African American man, and he said they stole like $15,000 worth of hair. That's why, you know, it's considered a crime. If it was like a little petty theft, they stole a pack or two. No, but no, they stole. He said $15,000 worth of hair, and he had the best cameras. So his cameras was able to take pictures of them in the store as well as running to the car. So that's who she's related to, the girl who stole the dress out of the store. She's related to
that. That's not good, girl.
Yeah.
How do you steal that much hair?
$16,000. Do you know how much hair costs?
I was going to say, I don't think it could have been that much.
Oh, it cost a lot.
She said, it has cost a lot.
How much does a pack have?
The stuff that they had, that high-end hair, that Remy hair, that stuff could be like $100 a pack. You can not spend $200-$300 on the hair, but you still got to get the hair due. So you still got to pay the person to do it. Yeah, they didn't steal.
That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show right there where you're going.
Yeah, it is. I can explain it to you.
Yeah, that we got to save that one.
Whoa. But they are some kin. All three of them are some kin.
Yeah, they're related.
Oh, man. Well, right. Hey, by the way, because we didn't say this, and I apologize to our co-host. We have Sydney Washington with us again in the house on TOAB's Sydney and co-host. She's becoming quite familiar with us. So she's stable, pretty much would say at this point. This home. And we welcome her home. And with that, we'll move on. I just wanted to introduce my co-host because I ain't want to be disrespectful.
And that's my fault because I was disrespectful in that.
No, I ain't say that.
I said it. Come on, let's move on. Go ahead.
I ain't say nothing. I said that.
With that, man, as we always do with the ending note, I like to close it out on a positive note. The last topic. Attack victim receives Purple Heart from an anonymous well-wisher. A Wisconsin girl stabbed 19 times in a murder plot allegedly hatched by two classmates to win favor with a fictional character has been sent a prestigious Purple Heart medal by an anonymous well-wisher. The Purple Heart was recently sent to a 12-year-old girl in an unsigned card that read, quote, "The only heart I could find. Be strong," end quote. The Purple Heart is awarded to members of the United States military who are wounded in battle or posthumously if they are killed in action or die after being wounded. Quote, it does not surprise me that a decorated veteran selfishly gave this amazing, brave, and courageous little girl something from his or her heart. Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Security. I thought it was a tremendous act of gratitude, unselfishness. I could go on forever with adjectives, but the fact that it was anonymous,
yeah, that means
speaks
a
lot more for me than the fact that if I was a cynic and put my name.
And, you know, oh, I know you don't talk a lot about yourself,
mm-hmm.
but I have the privilege of to be sitting in a room with a gentleman that himself has a Purple Heart. So, for me, that puts even more of an emphasis on it,
mm-hmm.
that, first of all, it's not a report that I say, you know, people go into the military saying, I'm a Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that's earned, that they feel like you earned that badge of honor. So for him to, that person to anonymously give theirs away that obviously it belongs to them or somebody dear to them, that they gave it away like that, that means a lot. That says a lot.
This was a
12-year-old.
That her classmates tried to do this to her?
A classmate, some of our fictional characters, so something that was going on. Rumor mill with kids, but the beauty in this is the story is being overshadowed by the Purple Heart.
That is it. Because you're talking about somebody's life that was almost taken.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily. And like you say, the medal, the presentation of the medal, overshadows that one.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you how big that is.
Yeah.
That's big up to the gentleman from, it's anonymous.
Yeah,
we don't know who did.
Whoever
we
you
know.
Are.
We are assuming and we're presuming that it would be a soldier who was honored with a Purple Heart. Being a Purple Heart recipient myself, it is something that it's not an accomplishment in so many ways.
Right.
Then it is more of an honor.
Yeah.
Because you go through a difficult situation to get it.
Right.
It's almost saying thank you for not dying. So to relinquish that medal to someone else is very, very, very big.
It is.
I really can't go too far with
it.
Yeah. Go too far with it. But big ups to the anonymous person who did that. God is good. That's all I can say with that.
Man.
And our prayers go out to the young lady that's dealing with this
absolutely
horrendous incident that she went through and survived that I'm sure scarred her physically, but
mm-hmm.
definitely mentally for the rest of her life.
But we're coming into the knowledge of what this Purple Heart is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a bittersweet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I have this memory, but I also have this memory to overshadow that.
Right.
Yeah, it was a big one. The family of the girl is trying to locate the anonymous person, but of course, they've had no luck.
He don't want to be located.
No, and I don't think if he's done it that way, he's met his purpose.
He did what he wanted to do. The way
and I think more of anything, they wanted to get out there that she received it so he would know that they want to recognize it. This is a kind of emotional point for me, so I ain't tangling in too much. That's why you hear me keep fumbling back and forth. But big ups, man. As always, it's a great thing to see someone willing to share in their blessings.
Can you get a more prestigious medal from the military than that?
Yeah, I think it's silver medal or medal of honor or something. But
Valor.
Everybody who's got it is dead. You don't usually, nobody living has ever received it.
Thank you.
That says a lot.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, before this war, nobody was getting nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Purple Hearts was like talked about World War II and World War I. It was not that many Purple Hearts given out in the day. So the impact of it now, because it's a medal that has to be given now because of the severity of the war, shows you like how serious that war was and how impactful it was. Because I bet you, like, if we did some research on it and crashed the numbers, if you went from when the war started, what was it, 05 until the end, and before that, like 96 to 2005, you probably wouldn't see like 6 or 7. You probably can count on 2 hands how many Purple Hearts was given out, if any.
You think that's Vietnam and Desert Storm combined?
Yeah.
Oh, that's deep.
Now, if you go into now, backtrack from today to 2005, oh, man. I need your hands, my hands, my kids' hands, people down the road hands, my neighbor hands, ceiling hands. I need everybody's hands. I mean, we lost, I think now it counts over 2,000 soldiers in this whole thing.
Okay. Yeah, what's the young lady's success in life?
What happened to her again that she received the Purple Heart?
An anonymous person sent her a Purple Heart as a gift because she was stabbed by her schoolmates 19 times. And some kind of plot. It was something the kids had going on by a fictional character, and they was scheming against the girl, and they stabbed the girl 19 times. So somebody read about the story. And through her recovery, they sent her their Purple Heart, anonymous.
Okay, I missed that part. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's end the note now.
Yeah.
On a good note. Because
we can get caught in.
We can get caught in that, and I was ready to go in. But we want to end it on a good note, so prayers and blessings go out to that young man.
Yeah.
And that man, woman that's in that big
up. Yeah. Moving to today's show. It's a TOAB show.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Because I got a big purple, black, and blue bruise on my right shin. I was wondering, Derek, can you send me your purple heart? I got an injury.
Absolutely not.
I got an injury from playing kickball. I need your purple heart.
I'm not fooling with you today at all. Nope. I seen you talk about a band name. I seen you talk about a band name. That's what I do.
Put a heart on it.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I guess I was messing with him. We got a caller, so I guess we'll let the caller on the line.
Right.
See what's going on before we start going to today's show. What's going on, caller? How you doing? It's the TOAB show. You're speaking with Derek. Oh, lost.
Looks like we lost.
All right.
All right, on into the show.
We'll move on.
Socially dead.
What y'all got for me?
You want to start it off?
And a cup of tea. Don't forget now. Don't forget. Social Dad, Bone Chilling Truth, and a cup of tea.
That's it.
POAB
show.
POAB show.
Hey, well, I started off with Social Dad. Now, this may or may not fall under social, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The overall view of black men is one of a negative standpoint, both within our culture and outside of our culture, from my opinion, my standpoint. How do you propose we as black men change that?
First, individually, we have to represent what we ultimately I mean, I really believe this. Best advertising is yourself. I can't tell you if you don't see me doing it or if you don't see no kind of benefit from me getting it. So I think really, and it's hard because just because I'm doing what's right, sometimes that's hard on me because everybody's doing what's wrong. But in doing what's right, eventually you weed out the bad and you get in the good, and then you also understand too. If you have a part, just those people that are doing what you project, get outside that mass of the predominantly black. But you do have solidity in where you're at. You know what I'm saying? And this is a difficult task because it's about changing the joy. Now, I do believe, this is me personally, and I picked this up on vacation, something about King said, one with God is the joy. So the truth of the matter is, I don't have to be in the mass of the predominant overlook of the black man. My majority is where I'm at. I mean, I know that's not directly to the, because I can't get there. You know what I'm saying? But from my outlook on, that's how I would approach it. I would approach it, and I think that if this is the thing, this is the thing. If we could all come together, we could get. It ain't about getting along. We gotta first come together. That's the heart. I ain't gonna come with you just because I don't know. I don't like what you're doing, or I heard such and such. You don't even know me. If we come together, you don't know me. I know you. Now we can decide we don't like each other. That's fine. But the difference is we are put inside our life. We see it as you can turn to it the same opposite of theory. Nobody likes it. They're talking to you about each other. Why? But when they coexist, they come together. Now, me and you talk about each other. Talk to each other. Yeah. Now, we call them fake. But the truth of the matter is, they're getting the job. On the backside, you and I. That's the biggest issue.
This?
Yeah. And it's bigger in the black culture than it. I don't care what I say. I can't tell you about it. I can't respond. That is, I am in black culture. We cannot.
Just simply because from different cities.
Yeah. Simple stuff like that. How you gonna ever or part of the nation where everybody's coming together and y'all can't come together amongst each other? You wanna say, oh, y'all don't wanna give me everybody against me. No, you against yourself. You fighting amongst yourself, they ain't worried about you.
Just with these thoughts and you're speaking from an individual perspective. But as a whole, the same viewpoint you have about the individual, other races have about them.
Yeah.
Why should I worry about black men? They fight amongst themselves. I ain't worried about them. They can't even come together to whatever you want to do. There's always going to be some discord and division.
We devitalize our own selves and then get mad when somebody tells us. You can't get mad. I don't get mad if somebody says, oh, you acting like a nigga. Because I acting like one. You can call me what you want. I heard you. I hear what you're saying. But at the end of the day, I know I ain't that.
So I ain't mad about it.
So you can't devitalize me. On the backside of that, when I'm wrong and I don't understand the whole concept of the whole makeup, and you say something to me, now I got to lash out at you.
Makes sense. So, from your answer, it's an individual effort. Well, each individual plays a part in the overall perspective. With that?
And that's the only way it works, and that's complicated. I'm glad you hit on that point. That's complicated because at the end of the day, you have to depend on another person.
Exactly.
That's why the groundwork, and when you go back and look at the blueprint, it was all set up for us to love one another. whenever that got lost, that's when the world got lost. And in that, that's why you see it. No, that's why it's a color. It's an attitude. It's something that separates everybody from everybody at the end of the day, because at some point you forgot all you're supposed to do is love.
That's hard.
It's hard. It's hard because we've come accustomed to doing the opposite.
Yeah. It's embedded in our embedded. I suppose you use both of them. In our everyday to look out for self. How can I look out for self if I'm not worried about money? I put this on, we had this conversation on Facebook one time, and the response I got was, it's no longer, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's no longer my responsibility to be brother's keeper. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the whole problem.
If you can't be brother's keeper, if everything is about you and what you have, what you want, how you go about doing what you want to do, how do you enjoy it when you get it?
Yeah.
Who am I going to share this with? I don't care what it is, whether it be the job with the good money or it be the whatever it is you trying to accomplish. Once you get there, how can you celebrate? Who do you celebrate it with? Who do you share it with? It's all about you. But anyway, that was my question. Thank you.
Good question, T. I appreciate that.
Drop it on me. It's on you, on boy. What's got
me? Dad, I'm going to have you pull out your...
not my DMS.
Your jaws cap. Okay, I'm finna put you in job mode here with this question. You may not be able to answer it, you know, but more than likely I know you will. In your professional opinion, what causes a person to develop an addiction or become an addict?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, we studied that in deep detail in my substance abuse course, because it's a lot of theory. It even goes back to genetics. Some people say it's just influential. And there's no really certified based research that can explain it.
No concrete answer.
Yeah, no concrete answer. I mean, it's been a lot of things examined, tests been done to see if it was genetic. Sometimes it do come, you may find they got a certain thing, the parent may have a certain trait in their genetic and the child has it, but it's not directly linked to alcohol. I mean, addiction. I say alcohol because that was my advice. But yeah, addiction. Then you move into from the genetic side and you look at just influential. Well, of course. I mean, there's really no way you cannot base the fact if the mom was an alcoholic, the dad was an alcoholic, the child may not be influenced to be an alcoholic. I mean, some people don't, some people do. So you got to be in the middle of it. Me personally, on a personal level, I honestly believe addiction is something that is, I think it comes to you almost like a feeling. I don't want to say it's genetic, because then, I mean, it's traced from one line to the next. I want to almost believe it's almost like, and that might be off base, and I apologize to anyone before I say this, but I link addiction to homosexuality. And I'm not saying I'm against either one. I'm just saying I believe homosexuality is something that's ultimately in that person. I don't think they grow to be that. I don't think they all of a sudden decide that. I think they have that in them, inherently. I just believe that. I believe addiction is the same way. I believe inherently we all have addictions, but some know how to contain them. Some know how to maintain them, and some can't sustain them. But I think it's in all of us. I think it's similar to drum major instinct. It's just an instinct we all have, and some people know how to control it to a certain extent, and others don't. But as far as where it comes from, I really believe, and this is my personal base. There ain't no research on that. And now, like I said, I don't want to offend anyone by comparing addiction to homosexuality, but on the stance of the overall linkage of how do you, when a person said, how do you get that way? I don't believe I got this way. I believe it's just, as I laugh a certain way, that was in me. You know, I like certain things. That was just in me. I don't think people pick up certain things. I think a lot of times we give excuses or, I guess, our explanations to things that we don't understand, and they're totally off. You know what I'm saying? And mine could be off now. But in that, I'm open enough to understand that I give everybody the benefit of the doubt when it comes to, I don't think, because this much I do know from dealing with addiction myself. Don't nobody want to be no addict to nothing. You don't. You absolutely do not want to. So no matter how much I'm influenced, because, okay, we can say drinking, for instance, because this was my vice, so I can use it. I see drinking around me all the time. It was no reason that I ever chose to drink. It was because I seen drinking around me as far as my parents or my aunts, my uncles, or family reunions. That was never in it. I never drunk with them. When I was with them, we had fun just off me being me. They was drinking, I wasn't drinking. So what was the need of me having alcohol? I started to drink because I just thought it was to make me fit in at the time. I didn't want to drink. I never needed to drink. But in doing so, to fit in, I was doing it because my addiction was more to not alcohol, but the moment. Mm-hmm. Just the moment. And once the moment started for me, I ain't like everybody. My moment go from Monday to Sunday. It would start back up Monday again to the next Sunday. So for me, it was, as you know, it was, I guess, overindulge. And then learning that, I also understood, I mean, that was just something in me. I still do it with other things. They're just not as detrimental to me as alcohol was. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. I see that characteristic in me. Like, I can pick up something and get addicted to it fast, the same way I was to alcohol. The difference is it may not affect me or my surroundings in the same manner because it's not as detrimental. But I have that trait. So I have to be careful in everything I do. And that's the one thing alcohol is talking about.
I want to, not to cut you off, but I don't know if you was.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you hear the word addiction, what's the first word that pops in your mind?
Drugs.
Drugs, yeah.
You know, hard drugs.
Crack. For me.
Yeah.
Basically. That's the first thing I think about. That's what I relate to addiction. Now, give you a scenario. Let's use John. John get up every day. John go to work. John take his responsibilities, he pay his bills, take care of his family. He's not a threat to society. He's never been to jail, none of that. But John smokes crack. Mm-hmm. John is able to support his habit. He don't steal from nobody. And it's just what he does. He smokes crack. I may drink a bill. I may have a stronger drink. Is John wrong for smoking crack?
Addiction is only when it's detrimental or it becomes hazardous to your health or your well-being.
Where I was going with that is I see addiction as a loss of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when John can no longer support his habit by his everyday routine,
mm-hmm.
when I have to step outside of what I do to mm-hmm. get this,
mm-hmm.
now it comes down to me. I may have to steal something or I may have to...
Mm-hmm.
I may have to do whatever, but I'm willing to do that to do this. That thing, you've lost control over that.
You've become addicted.
Right. Now you become that thing.
Right.
Before that was something you did.
Right.
Now that thing becomes you. That's how I see addiction. And I don't know. I've sat around and thought about this before, addiction. Because, man... If you be honest, everybody can probably find something.
They got addiction.
Yeah, that's a habit for you. Even if you don't want to use the word addiction, it's a habit. So in saying that, I tend to kind of agree with you that maybe that's just something. It's a trait. Maybe not the thing. We're not focused on the thing. We ain't focused on crack. We ain't focused on drinking. We ain't focused on. It's not that. It's how I handle that.
I see, Paul.
I'm going to say, though, and this is totally from a social standpoint, from, like, me back on my professional cap, I'm willing to believe every individual has an addiction. Now, the difference in addiction, your addiction can be simple as watching a certain show on TV. You just, if you don't watch, things don't go right, or you all out of whack, or you upset. If your actions become detrimental because you can't get that, that's an addiction.
Yeah.
Now, that's a plain and simple addiction. Doesn't seem to hurt anyone, but it still falls under the definition of addiction. If I was going to my DSM, and I was looking up a diagnosis, that would be under one of the criteria, so I could put it as addiction. So you got addiction, I got addiction. Mine's alcohol, but I'm looked at as terrible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, he's addicted. The problem is addiction, the word, has been demonized.
Yeah, like a lot of words.
Yeah, it's been demonized. When we all have addictions, mine may just be something that's been put on the normal status or the social norm to be the unfavorable thing, but at the end of the day, addiction is addiction across the board.
Yeah, you're right. I want to, if I'm not overstepping anything, I want to give our co-host the opportunity to put us on the chopping block if you got anything to say to this CD.
Oh, about addiction?
Yeah, about any of it. Addiction or the first question, which was what, the black state of black men and whatever. It's your chopping block.
Well, I don't want to speak on the black man thing. I'll just speak on addiction. Well, with addiction, well, me being a nurse, a lot of times people, when you say addiction, the first thing that comes to my mind is being addicted to medications or pain pills. A lot of times people that are on pain medications, if you go back and trace from the beginning, a lot of them had some type of event happen where they had significant pain. So they become addicted to the pain medicine because they're it's like they're always trying to chase getting rid of that pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one addiction that forms. And then you have those that I feel that they just have those addictive traits anyway. And that's how they become addicted to whatever. But I have an addiction. I like ice. It calls my name.
You like ice?
Yes, ice. It calls my name.
You a
nanny. I know who.
You ain't got no addiction.
I'm not a nanny, though. That's a myth. People say, some people, it's you know, that their iron may be low. My iron has never been low, ever. And I eat enough. My diet contains enough. Yeah, so I'm addicted to ice. And I quit before. I quit for 3 years before, and then I relapsed. So...
You see, we laughing, but at the end of the day,
it is. It is. Because, like, we laughing at as
simple as ice.
But if I were to say alcohol, everybody gets serious.
Right, right.
And both of them is just as serious. Because you can hear the genuineness in her delivery when she's saying, I quit for 3 years. And I relapsed.
Wow.
I did. I quit all the time, though. I quit all the time. But I don't eat it like I used to because, you know, it messes up your teeth, and I'm trying to keep the set I have. So that's what kind of keeps me from eating it like I used to. But I used to be a full-blown ice freak. I was gone. I wouldn't even eat. That would be my meal.
Mm.
But
wow.
That's serious.
Yeah.
But it's big of you to admit that, though, and that's coming from me as a recovering alcoholic myself. I mean, I know the struggle it is to go through addiction. So to openly say it means you win in either kind of way you look at it. Okay.
Well,
we're moving on to, let me see here. Yeah, a couple of tips. Let me
come at him first, Dad. Give him some light.
I feel like
you're going to hit him heavy. A cup of tea.
There we go.
Core T. What do you feel is missing from today's music?
I wanted to ask you this question because
music
is very important in your life. You know, the ride over here was a prime example of that for me.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel is missing from today's music?
Responsibility, accountability, and in some cases, understanding. Now, I know that may not be the answer that you may want it.
I know what
to
get.
When you, and we say this all the time, just like we ask the question about role models, when you're on a public stage, whether you like it or not, whether you want that responsibility or not, it's tied to you. So, when you put out music that's just blatantly degrading, blatantly disrespectful, blatantly, now as I'm answering this question, I'm asking myself, well, disrespectful to who? And who am I, you either have a choice whether you listen to this or not. Listen, I'm not forcing this on you. But at the end of the day, it's like, struggling over here.
Well, because you're trying to be open. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But answer it for yourself.
For me, personally, I would like to see music go back to being an art form and not just a means to an end or a way to get my name out. Understand that people have put in time. There are people who take this seriously. They come with a message. They come with themselves. They put themselves in their music. So when others who have different motives step into the game, as we call it, it is kind of disrespectful to those artists who put in that time and who put in that effort and who have a genuine message in their music. It's kind of disrespectful. You're disrespecting the craft.
I totally agree.
Now, there are people who don't listen to music for a message. There are people who listen to music just because to them it's music. It's just some beats and some words that I can vibe to, whatever. For me, music is spiritual. I don't care what genre you listen to. I don't care what. Music speaks to you the same way reading or art, like drawing, painting, writing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an art form, and it connects with your spirit. Whether you get that or not, whether you accept that or not, I challenge you, and I think I've done this before. Find yourself, the next time you find yourself just in a regular mood, well, you can't do it going in. You have to do it, you have to catch yourself in the moment. Certain songs can change your mood.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna say certain. I believe all music changes your mood. If you're in a certain mood, you either want music that's gonna keep you in that mood, or you want music that's gonna change your mood. To me, that validates the fact that music is a form of spirituality, like it touches your spirit. If it can change my mood just by listening to something that I already know what they're gonna say, I already know when the beat gonna drop in, I already know when the song gonna go off. I already know that this can change my mood before and it's gonna happen again. But it still works.
That's deep, because thinking back on how music used to be, because it's not the same to me either, to evoke emotion and feeling was, I guess, just a natural reaction.
Right.
When in today's time, music that does that is considered to be alternative.
Mm-hmm.
When back in the day, it was the norm.
That was all music.
That was all music. Now it's alternative music. It's
conscious.
Neo-soul. It's conscious. They had to give it a title. You know what I mean? When before, it was just music.
Think back to the nights when we was hanging out. And we knew we was about to leave where we were comfortable and going through a situation where we may not know or may not be comfortable. What we play? It was something that's going to get you in the mood to where I really don't care what happened. We know what it is, but alternatives. Alternatives to what? If music that speaks to me and you recognize that it has a message and you call it alternative, what is it the alternative to? My question.
That's a good question. You know, I don't want to piggyback off of a point you made too, though, because I truly believe it's a responsibility in music, just like it's a responsibility in our civil rights.
Right.
And I say that from the standpoint of, if you can see what our forefathers or those before us went through and the struggles they had to go through to get us to the point where we can vote, we can drink our water fountain and don't have to be separate, or we can go in a restaurant and be served and not go through the back door and don't be served, and you respect that enough to say, hey, stop disrespecting that, you can understand that. Why can't you understand Marvin Gaye's music, the man that laid the platform, Sam Cooke? You know what I mean? You got to go back. Even the whole Motown era. This is where the black music started as a foundation. I mean, there was other record labels, but the most famous is Motown. Ain't nothing come off Motown talking about no bitches, no hoes, none of that. It was good, feel good. We listened to a song the other day. We were doing something. And it was 8 minutes before the man said a word. And we were jamming. The beat had took us. We were somewhere else already. That's music. The whole genre of music and the whole vibe of it for us as a culture and black people comes from a soul thing. If you go back to Africa, if you go back to our bases in religion, the Bible, all that, it's the spirit. It's something moves in you. You don't have to say nothing that makes sense.
You don't have to say
feel
anything.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything. You can just go to movie and I can catch it and go in my mind, go wherever you at.
Exactly. But think back to, I know we didn't all have this moment. It could be a Saturday morning, it could be a Sunday morning, it could be a Sunday night. It could be any time of day. Your mommy in the kitchen, she might be cooking, she might be cleaning, she might be anywhere in the house doing something. No words going on, no nothing, and all of a sudden you hear, Things change in that moment.
Yeah, instantly.
I don't even know what's on your mind. I don't know what you're humming. I know nothing about nothing, but that little thing right there just changed the whole mood. I was into the TV, and as soon as you did that, I started paying attention to you. Music is connected to our spirit, and I'm inclined to believe that there are other people, and I always go here, and I'm going to continue to go here because it's what I believe. There are people who understand that, who are not for the edification of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I will promote, unbeknownst to you, something that will go against what you really need.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy into it because you can pop your fingers, you can slide, you can bounce. Hell, you might even shoot. And I really would.
And that's true, though. And that's true, and that's why I say we can say, yeah, everybody has a right to do what they want to and all of that, but at the end of the day, if you respect something and you understand the validity of it, like you say, the fact of the matter that my mom can go humming in 1 second and change everything, I respect that enough not to mess up music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to just go put out no anything. That's crazy to me. It makes no sense, you know what I'm saying? But everybody has their choices. I mean, I'm not trying to stand down it. I'm just saying music for me today is not the music I would choose to listen to. I'm more of a... Hey, I call it Motown, man. You don't catch me even listening to some Joe Simon. I mean, I need to relate and understand from a truly genuine place what you're saying. Not just telling me because you was in a club and drunk and thought this was something cool to say. You would be drunk.
Yeah.
I let her be done left you and your heart hurt and you was playing with me like Lenny did. Then I can understand it. Ain't nothing wrong with being drunk. I get that part. I'm saying just be genuine in your delivery.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that like all the music we hear now is not genuine.
I am.
The majority of it.
But you know what? I take that back. I believe it's not.
Yeah.
Because if it was, it would connect with us.
Think about
it,
man. Think about this. Think about this like this. When rap first hit the scene, It was not accepted. Matter of fact, they went to length to ban it, to get rid of it. We don't want this playing on the radio. We don't want our kids infected by this. This is trash. This is all it is. It was somebody's art form. They were speaking from where they were from their perspective, and we got it. We understood it. They knew. They saw something different, I put it that way. And in seeing something different, they went to whatever extremes they had to go to. Look at Luke. Now, granted, yeah. Luke music was about what it was about. But again, that's part of, whether you like it or not, it's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's part of our culture.
I mean, Luke rapped about what he saw.
Exactly. He gave his perspective
right.
on life.
He gave his, he portrayed his surroundings to us through music.
Now, answer this question for me. How did we get from you going to extreme measures to ban a person's music to now it being that's all you want to promote?
And it's played on the radio.
If somebody comes with something that's edifying, you get no spin. You get no radio time. You got to go underground. You got to promote yourself. But if you get on there talking about nonsense and this, that, we'll go through, we'll play you on the Super Bowl.
And they have a song on the radio that said, pull your panties to the side.
Yeah.
How you going
to
put that on the radio? Pull your panties to the side.
Pull your panties to the side.
Then
it's
you
the
wonder
radio.
Why you have four-year-old girls twerking. It all plays a part. All of it is all in the same, it's a package deal.
And that's a great point. That's a great point because the fact that Luke had to fight for the right to even have his music played back in the 80s, because now we want to point out this is not your legal right from the Constitution to have freedom of speech. He fought it, won, so he pretty much got what the Constitution says we owe. Now, the Constitution don't give a damn.
No, man, look. You say pull your panties to the side. That's on the radio, right?
Yeah.
A graduating kid, I want to call him a young man, graduating from high school, valedictorian, given the speech, had to rewrite his speech 3-4 times because he referenced his religious beliefs in the speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you can't do this. I'm going to give it back to you. They give it to him again. No, we give it back to you with the words that we don't want you to say blacked out. He does it again. They give it back to him again. Look, if we have to do this again, we're gonna remove you. They cut the mic off on the man when he started talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of world are we in to where pull your panties to the side can be played on the radio, but you can't say nothing about God?
You got to make a hell of a point.
Good point. I'm done.
But I saw on the news somewhere where the boy might have been in like the second grade, and they had free time in the classroom, and the young man pulled out his Bible. He wanted to read his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So second grade. You know what I mean? And the teacher took it from him. Well, asked him to give it up. When he didn't, they ended up sending him
home or
something.
Like that.
He got in trouble. It was his free time to do as he wanted.
God has no place in school. God has no place in the public. Now, one nation under God.
Under God.
But he ain't got no business in our schools. But you should. You wonder why you got to lock the schools down every other week. You wonder why things are the way they are. I think you should bring corporate. I don't want to use corporate punishment. But I'm going to use corporate. Bring it back. What was wrong with it? We knew how to act in school. We didn't want to go see Mr. Dog.
Okay?
We didn't want that. Because after I see him, I got to go home and see my daddy or my mama or whoever else. Slowly. All of that started being taken away, and all the other stuff started being implemented. Not to say
that you didn't have bad little boys and girls back when they were, you know, paddling, as they call it in school, but you weren't for the show out like that.
No. We weren't having the issues that I see nowadays in school. The worst thing, you might get somebody trying to steal a juice or something. I mean, it wasn't, you know, crazy bringing stuff to school, girls beating. I mean, yeah, you might have a case. You know what? This is funny, too, because now I think about it, I was just going to say you might have a case with fights. But I think I can name probably on one hand all the fights I've seen my whole 12 years in school.
No, I can't go into that because Lincoln was rough.
I didn't see that many fights.
They weren't doing none of that. They weren't paddling nobody at Lincoln.
Yeah, but I'm saying, we seen a fight almost every day for a good little minute at Lincoln, but I get your point.
Yeah.
I get your point. Now, you ain't seeing fights no more anyway.
You seeing a girl getting stabbed 19
it
times.
It is.
Right.
And this is something they done plotted. 12-year-olds plotting to stab each other.
I'm going to change my answer. What's wrong with music? Satan is loose.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with it. Point blank.
It's his.
It's his. Don't got to be, but it is.
That's what's wrong with the world. If we look at it from a standpoint of if we go back, I would say 10, we don't have to go back by 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And you see the transition that happened. All the things that we used to have to stand under and do are gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm fearful for my kids. You say, in the question, I'm going to explain. You said to ride over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of my routine with my children. We get in the car and I play music and we do sing-alongs.
Right.
We also do spelling bees, but we do sing-alongs and I want to know, I play music that I feel is not detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be ABC music, but it ain't telling them to go out and we playing Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Songs like that. They know the words, song front and back.
Something like that.
We have to take accountability in some facet. And this can stem off from some other conversations that we got saved for other shows. But as parents, we have to take, we cannot rely on public influence to be good for our children. Whether it be school, whether it be radio, whether it be TV, whether it be your neighbor. And it's sad to say it, because we grew up in a village.
Yeah.
The village no longer exists. So you have to be careful. Now, again, I'm going to open this up for Ms. CC. You got a thing? You want to put this on the chopping block or we going to keep moving on?
Mm-mm, you can keep moving on. You said the village doesn't exist anymore?
No, village done. The village is done.
Wow.
It can be resuscitated like anything else. It can always come back. But at this point, village is done. Would you want somebody to chastise? I don't want you to answer that. No answer that. We tend to not want other people to chastise our children because we don't know their motives. I don't know how you chastise yours. I don't know how you feel about mine. I don't know how you feel about me. I don't know what's in you. It's so many unknowns to where it's just not fair. It's not safe no more to trust. And that's a problem because I can't be around my kids all the time.
I was waiting on to see if
Sydney
was
going to
say something. She
didn't want to
touch it. Just like, you know,
nah.
Right
there. Say something about what, Derek?
About, we was talking, the topic we was just on, about the music thing.
I know we got off topic a little bit.
I agree with the music. It's horrible, but the thing with the music is they would rather dance than think. So that's all, you know, that explains it in a nutshell. They just want to beat. They don't care if they're getting cussed out and called all kind of names in the song. You know, they just want to dance. That's pretty much what it is. I want to learn this new dance to this song and keep it moving. But you know what? Like, if you judge the music how it used to be, people weren't so concerned with their appearance and how I look. They, you know, they had their own shine. They put their music out there, and that was that. Now when they make music, they have to make music off of somebody else's pain, seems like. You have to make yourself look good off of somebody else. It's not that you just put the music out there and you do what you do because that's your gift, but a lot of them, you degrade other people just so you can make money and just so you can look good. To me, that's not talent.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
That's just what it has become.
Yeah. And that's
the sad part.
Well, T.
Yeah, here we go. We got one more.
I'm gonna hit you with this here. It ain't too bad though. Yeah. I mean, we have discussed this actually ourselves off air before, so you familiar with it. But I throw it out there. What's the difference between living and existing?
Oh Lord, have mercy. Why you gonna do that to me?
Hey, buddy. Listen, I think it would be great for you to explain that.
I bet.
I'll help you out if you need some help, too.
Yes, Lord.
Well, we'll be there in a minute.
Okay. All right. Living and existing, what's the difference? Existing to me is what happens when I stop paying attention, when I stop doing the necessary or what's necessary. And I'm going to keep using this word for edification.
Mm-hmm.
When I start realizing that my soul is living and I start paying attention to what I allow myself to be exposed to, I end up in a state of existence. I'm just here. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever, we want to go back to the previous question, whatever they play on the radio, hey, it's on the radio, whatever. That's the music we got today. I'm okay with it because it's all we got.
Yeah.
I run to the polls and vote for somebody that I don't agree with. I don't agree with either side, but I disagree with you less than I disagree with this one, so I vote for you. I'm existing. I'm in some shape, form, or fashion, I'm not being true to myself. Living requires a relationship with an external source. You call it what you want.
Yeah.
I call mine God. You call yours what you want. But if without that relationship, an ongoing relationship and a growing relationship, living has no meaning to you. To me.
Yeah.
Not you. To me. I'm sorry. And I didn't realize that. And hey, I'm still trying to get there. Like I'm trying to get off the ventilator machine right now. I think that's the right name for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get off of that. It's a process though. Life itself is a process. And in order to live this, I won't go this route. Excuse me. If I never get into a place of living, what validates my death? What did I die from? All the time, the space that I occupy here, what was it for? Man, you say living needs no introduction. That's one of your quotes. Your, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I can't come up with it. And I've heard you say that, and it was through a conversation that we had last week that it really made sense to me. You don't have to, nobody has to walk you into life.
Mm-hmm.
You just choose to do it. Whatever it may be for you, that's your choice. Just do it. Get rid of everything that's stopping you from doing it and do it. Don't know if I answered your question, but that's as simple as I can give it.
No, for me, you summed it up. I'm under the belief, and I came to this belief through my own trials and tribulations, though, but living doesn't always accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the difficult part. That's why people find it hard to live and accept existing, because existing accommodates. And it's complex, but it's finding a way to get you comfortable.
Yeah.
Because we came to an understanding that three individuals, and Celia too, that's so that would be four, for three men and a female. So you got a dynamic and a diversity. That the understanding of living is more of anything, you got to be ready to live. Period. Period. Existing doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, everybody can do that. Living takes a little more.
You gotta take a chance to live.
Every
day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I'm trying to get this.
And when you live it, you have to realize I may not be accommodated.
Yeah. It is what it is.
But when you exist, it's easier to know I'm accommodating myself.
There's a lot of hardship, a lot of stressful moments, a lot of sleepless nights that go along with living.
Yeah.
Can I say this? And I might be wrong, but it's just my opinion. So I ain't wrong. A person who has not accepted death can never live. If you have not accepted the fact that death is going to come one day, regardless of how it come, when it come, where I'm at, when it come, all of that. And this is not a morbid spin. This is just a realistic spin from the way I think. It's going to happen. So now, do I spend the space and the time that I have thinking about that? Or do I do all I can until that moment comes? And when that moment comes, I ain't got nothing to worry about anyway.
Because you don't live. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's a great point, because at the end of the day, for me, man, it comes down to one thing, man. Shoot. Being scared to die, stop. It stagnates your whole existence.
Being afraid of anything.
It stagnates everything. We was having a conversation. I know I'm finna go into something we weren't even going to touch on. But we was having a conversation about gun control.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I leave
my phone to the truth.
Okay. I leave it on. We'll get on that later.
Okay.
But to make my point without using that, just okay, I say this. This is what I directly say. One thing about it I do know. There's a lot of people walking around dead.
Absolutely.
And I was one.
Mm-hmm.
And still am. I mean, I'm beginning to live. I'm beginning to live, but I don't ever believe, and I tell y'all this all the time, I'm going to see what everybody's hoping to see here on earth. I don't need to see it. If I'm living in the moment, I ain't missed it.
Mm-hmm. You saw what you was
doing. Yeah, I seen it. I done it. Death don't scare me. It was a long time it did, and I think a lot of it had to do with my incident in Iraq. And I would stay up all night. And it wasn't because I wasn't sleeping. It was because I was scared to go to sleep because I thought I might not wake up.
That one word keeps coming back up. Fear.
Yeah.
Fear in anything. I don't care if you're scared of heights. To some degree, it's going to restrict living for you.
You know,
I can't get on the airplane.
I just thought of something. Fear is an addiction everybody owns.
Yeah.
Everybody owns it, but we downplay it.
And none of us should have it.
Yeah.
None of us should have fear of what? What am I afraid of? The worst thing that can happen is death, and that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
The worst thing that could ever happen to you in any situation you find yourself in is not walking out alive. But that day is coming. So why be afraid of it? Why be afraid of that? That's like saying I'm scared to eat. You got to eat. I'm scared to go to the bathroom. Okay, well, then what you going to do?
It's crazy, too, because you think about it from the standpoint, like, you're afraid to live because you're scared of dying, but you know dying coming. You don't know what you'll get out of living, so why not enjoy it? It has to be better than what you're scared of because you're afraid of the other one, so why not try the thing you're not afraid of? It's crazy. I mean, it is morbid in a sense how it works, our brains.
Yes.
Because we accept and become existent upon things that we shouldn't even be given.
No, we don't want it. I can know for a fact I don't want something. But because of the opposite, because of the alternatives,
mm-hmm.
fear in the alternative, I'd rather walk into this. Well, if I get over the fear, I don't know what that situation may lead me to. It may be the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, but just the thought of it evokes so much fear. I'd rather be comfortable in something that's killing me. Uncomfortably comfortable.
Yeah.
Nah,
put that together, yeah. Wow.
I'd rather stay in this state than get out of it and live.
You both have nailed that one. I don't really...
And then
comfortably uncomfortable. Said it all for me. You know, we get stuck in our everyday routines.
But it may be uncomfortable. But I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. So I'm this is okay for me right now. The known. It's the known versus the unknown. And I told y'all a long time ago, old wise man once told me, he used some different words than I'm going to use, but he was like, I'd rather take one step in the unknown than to take 10 steps. No, I'm sorry. I'd rather take 10 steps in the unknown than to take one step and it's a doo-doo already in those things.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Now think about it.
But that's what we do.
Because I know that. I can
handle
it.
Because you know that. I can handle it.
That's comfortable.
I don't like it, but I can handle it.
I can handle it. Everybody already know about that. I'm cool with that, even though I ain't cool with that.
Nah, yeah.
So, we all accept that.
It's crazy, though. It's crazy that I'm laughing, but it's not the laughing like I'm laughing at it to be funny. I'm laughing because I can relate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like I'm laughing within myself knowing that's you. Because I put myself in situations where I've done things where I knew it made no sense. And I've done it repeatedly just because it was comfortable for everybody around because I had done it before. Instead of trying
to do something different.
Something.
Better. I'm sorry, I keep finishing your sentences.
No, you're right. You're right, though. You're right.
All right, let's get this off of me. Where are we going?
Hey,
oh,
hey,
I'm sorry.
No.
Chop
and
block.
Said she wanted to help you. She wanted to help you.
Chop and block. Help me out. CC, where you at?
Well, I think y'all touched all the points that I was going to say, but I just keep it simple. And, I mean, living, I think, is done on purpose, and you enjoy living. But existing is just going with the flow. You just have no control of nothing. You're not trying to. You have no purpose, pretty much. You're just here and taking whatever may come your way. So, I mean, but that's all.
That's a hell of a word you threw out there. Purpose.
Yeah. You said a mouthful in that little bit.
That's a hell of a word. When you operate with the purpose, you're living.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose to everything I do. There's a purpose behind it, and it makes total sense. Never thought about it?
Yeah.
Purpose. What is your purpose?
Born to the truth.
Born to the truth.
Get off a cup of tea.
Born to the
truth. Time move into the bone chilling truth. With our co-host Bone.
Let's
see, you going first? You want me to hit him first?
I jump on him first.
All right, you got it.
Going back to the conversation we had a couple days ago on Facebook, I didn't see your input, so now I'm going to ask for it in the Bone to the truth. Gun control. Do you think it is, and when I say gun control, I'm talking from a perspective of the government,
okay,
the law, getting involved in the personal choice. Do you think it is warranted, or do you think it would, I don't want to give you an alternative, do you think it's warranted, or what are your views on gun control?
The state of the union, I guess I can easily say, where it is easily accessible to get a gun,
mm-hmm,
even for our youth to get guns. How they get them? Because I swear, when I was younger, I mean, if I put forth some effort, I could find a gun. But I had to put forth some effort. I think it just comes, I don't know, it just seems like it's easier for them to get now. So because of that, I feel like there needs to be
regulation.
Some kind of regulation to help prevent our children from getting their hands on guns. I don't know how you can do it, but it has to be something to help prevent our children from getting these guns. Whether it's our parents taking more responsibility of keeping these guns away from their children, putting them up, locking them up, whatever that it may take in order to keep it out of their hands. And I want to say more involvement in their lives and more involvement in the people they hang around and the places that they go. We have to put some kind of, you have to do something.
Okay.
Without infringing on our rights as adults to bear arms. Okay, how we can do it, I have no idea.
Now, what about the adults? I get your point on the kids who get guns, because any kid regardless of that kid's understanding, has no business with a gun.
Exactly.
Any kid. Let's talk on adult to adult ratio, basically. You have responsible adults and you have
irresponsible.
There you go. So at this point, it's out of parents' hands. And we're going back to government. We're going back to the powers that be. Do you think it would cause more detriment for them to try to step into that or continue fighting for the control or regulation of civilian ownership of guns? Or would it benefit us more?
I think, like many things that the government gets involved in, we wouldn't see the benefits right away. I'll rip the NRA and every other kind of gun association is going to be up in arms because our rights are being infringed upon as far as they're concerned. But this is a case where I think we have to look at the bigger picture. We have to, man. Everybody's going to have, every felon I know, has a gun, can easily get a gun, no problem. Every person, if I wanted a gun, I could go get one. Hell, I'm going to be honest, I got one.
Yeah.
I ain't got a tap of light. I'm sorry. Put it out.
This is
my
ass, y'all. It's yours.
Just don't, it ain't no problem if you don't come running up in the house. You come running up in the house, then it becomes an issue. But, you know, I feel like I'm one of those responsible adults that you were speaking of. Guns don't kill people, man. People kill people.
Okay. So going along with that point, is it a fight, a valid fight, for the government to be involved in? If guns don't kill people, people kill people, where's the government's place in this fight?
They have to put the stipulations on the people, I think. But how can you do that and not involve the gun? I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer. Let's start all over.
It's a hard question, though. But my thing is, as far as the government is inadequate and flawed.
Oof.
Because
strong words,
because at the end of the day, we have to look at it like from this standpoint. And I know I'm just so lovable and so caught up in what I believe, but it is what it is for me. Man set up the government. Man gave us the freedom to write, the freedom to all this, the freedom to this. What in the mind of thinking of a person that would give me the freedom and the right to do, to speak, and to carry out in the manner I want to, would it make sense to bear arms? My question becomes this. Why do any individual need a gun?
Do you want me to talk on that?
Well, I'm going to answer it. It's the bone chilling truth.
Let's go.
Why does any individual have a gun, need a gun? Because
right.
Another individual has a gun. That's the only logical reason. I don't need one if you don't got one. You know what I'm saying? You got one, I'm going to have one. From my perspective, outside of that, you're using it to protect your family. But, I mean, more than likely, you pulling a gun out because somebody coming in your house, you say they might have a gun.
Let me ask this question. Now, I'm assuming the gun stays in your home.
Yeah.
The entire time that you're walking around your home, is that gun on your person?
No, it is not.
What good does that gun do you? Because at any given second,
mm-hmm.
you can be intruded.
Mm-hmm.
And that person has theirs when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
What good is your gun doing you at that moment?
Well, you see, and how my house is set up?
No, don't tell that. I don't need you to tell that.
But I got to tell me, you asked me a direct question.
I get it.
Yeah, don't tell that.
Okay.
Don't tell that.
Well, listen. I'm going to say.
We apologize technical difficulties. We're going to fight through them. We're going to keep moving on. So, gun control.
Gun control. Just everybody's hearing this in their startup.
No, check this out. I posed a question. I just comment train of thought. I'm sorry about that. I posed a question, why would anyone need a gun? Bone said basically someone else has.
For somebody else.
And I get that. And most people would say for protection. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, if you think about it, the only reason I have a gun is to injure someone else. So if for one, your mind state is obviously negative in some manner or some form. If you feel the need to have a gun, it means that you basically, in some way or some manner or form, are willing to cause harm to someone else. Okay, we throw that out. Now you throw out that protection. If you take the weapons and remove them from the whole scenario, and this was my thing with the government and them being inadequate and being flawed, why was guns ever issued to civilians or anyone, period? I understand the war concept. I don't agree with it, and then that's a whole other topic, but if my thing for gun control, I'll clean it up real smooth, would be this. If we're going to implement gun control and implement it the right way, let the people who are supposed to have guns have them. That way, I would say, the U.S. military is the only entity that is able to have guns in case of war. I'm not even giving them a gun besides to train them how to use it, and then after that, you don't get it until you go to war. And that's the only time that the government was thinking on a practical sense. Because you gave us all these freedoms, and then everyone's an individual. And on top of that, here you go, take this with you. If you get in trouble and you feel like he's dragging you, kill your brother. But it's supposed to be united. It's almost as if you throw that in there and a backslap to me because you're saying to me, hey, I believe you can build this nation. I believe you can do this. But when things fall apart, this is what you need to lean on. Why you can't lean on God? That's what the nation is supposed to be on, one nation under God, right? So why do we have weapons anyway in this conversation? Why do we have a need for protection anyway in this conversation? If you love your brother like he loves you and like you would want him to love you in return, you don't need to worry about protection. You don't need to worry about anything. And if you do, leave it on God because he'll take care of it for you. Because this is one thing I do know. If I get shot today, or if I get hit by a car tomorrow, God has called me home on that day. That is that, and that's how it's going to play out. Now, in the manner it may go for you, it may seem dramatic when I'm gone. But the truth of the matter is, God wrote that a long time ago. So I'm not going to stop you by having a gun. I was going to die anyway because God had already called me home. So my whole understanding for gun control is this. Why in the hell are we talking about guns, period?
Because they are a problem.
And that's why I'm saying that's why they're a problem, because you put guns in a society where we can't even get along. We were saying inside a culture, then we don't get along as a man. What did you expect? Then you want to put a control over. I just told you everybody got addictions in the sphere, so that means I need to protect myself.
You try to put control on something that's already out of control, and it ain't gonna work no damn way.
Yeah, but
we got a caller. I want to get the caller in real quick. Caller, you on there?
What up, fellas? It's 2 up, 2 down.
My boy! Sweet Mark! What up, baby doll?
What's going on, Miss Lady?
This is what we doing. Do what you going in to do.
What's good with you, Mark?
What's going on, man? Hey, man, I just want to comment on this gun thing. As far as the guns go, man, I know you know, we watch all these movies like Juice, we watch Boys in the Hood, we watch Menace, you know what I'm saying? We see all this stuff going on. And to piggyback on Bone's comment earlier, it's always going to be a situation where we can always just go and, you know what I'm saying, like walk down the street and, you know what I'm saying, if you know somebody that knows somebody or you just in the know, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be able to find a gun. So not to really go against what you said there, but at the same time, if you take all the guns away from everybody and say, you know, you know, all those, only the people who have the right or who need a gun to be able to have a gun. Just as much as you say, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to take it from you, buddy's going to give it back to the people that, you know what I'm saying, that ain't supposed to have them. It's, when there's a will, there's a way, you know what I'm saying? You think about, I can't think of the name of the movie, but that movie with Nicolas Cage where he was a gun smuggler and he was just selling guns to other countries that didn't have the gun. You know what I'm saying? If you had the money to get the gun, he would sell it to you. So I think in terms of gun control, there really isn't a quote-unquote way to control guns. I mean, I know people kill people, and I know it's not the gun itself that does the killing. You know, the gun didn't pull its own trigger, but at the same time, you know, the accessibility of it, the fact that, you know, if you tell me, let's just, not to change the subject, but let's just take it from the standpoint of saying weed. Weed is common. Everybody has. If you don't have it, you know what I'm saying, you know somebody who got it, you know where to go get it. It's still illegal, but we still know where to go get it from, you know what I'm saying, because it's something that everybody wants. Same thing with guns. It's something that everybody wants. If they take the AK off the shelf and say you can't have no more AKs, somebody knows somebody that got an AK for sale. Just because of the fact that it's a rarity and you know, we want to have it. I'm not going to sit and tell you no story. I got a paperweight. I got a .357. But I ain't never shot it at nobody. I pray that I don't have to.
I'm messing with you, Ma. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I call it a paperweight because, you know what I'm saying? It's doing nothing but sitting there. You know what I'm saying? As long as, you know what I'm saying, I'm not the thug y'all do, but sometimes, as long as ain't nobody breaking in my home or nothing like that there, that gun is just... Now, I bought it because of my uncomfortability, you know what I'm saying? Somebody had broken my house, you know what I'm saying, on 3 days back to back to back. And after that, I was like, man, I need to have a gun to protect myself because I was uncomfortable with staying in my own home, you know what I'm saying, knowing that somebody had broken in my house on 3 straight days. So that's why I bought it. But that was like almost like... I would say about 10 years ago. Well, I would say about 7 years ago. But now, you know what I'm saying? Now that I'm, you know what I'm saying, back on solid ground, I'm not living in that home anymore. I don't eat, like I said, the gun is a paperweight. I don't, you know what I'm saying, I don't ride around with it, I don't floss with it, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to see me open carry with it, even though I got a concealed weapons from it. It don't do me no good.
Yeah, listen, man, you can roll around with the thing on your dashboard, man. Come on, man. Look, check this out, though. I know you personally, and I know, and I'm going to piggyback off of you for a second. I know you believe in God, right?
All day.
Okay, check this out. In a situation, you got gun on your left, God on your right. Which one are you going to depend on?
What is he? He said gun on my left and what's on my right?
See, why are you imagining what side? It doesn't matter. He gave you God and a gun. Which one you take?
God is on your left.
I didn't hear what he said.
Gun is on your left. God is on your right. Which one you choose? Which one you going to ride with?
I ride with God all day.
Okay, so did you ever in a situation where you can't reach God?
No, I'm never in a situation where I can't reach God.
Okay, so if you're going to always ride with God and he's always available, why do you need a gun?
Like I said, at that time, it was because I felt uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like today.
I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about right now. Right now, this moment. Based on the answers that you gave me, the question I'm asking you is, why do you need a gun? There's an answer. I just want to know what it is.
My reason for still having my gun... One, because I paid $700 for it, and two, because if somebody walk in this house, just like Bone said earlier, somebody walk in the house, breaking my house in the middle of the night, I don't know what you broke in my house for. I don't know what you have. So, you know what I'm saying, to protect myself, you know what I'm saying, let's say you got a gun too, to protect myself.
Yeah. We're going to stop you, Mark.
I didn't say I was clear on it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I get that, but I want to point this out to you. Check this out. You said you paid $700 for the gun. And from my understanding, you haven't used the gun at all. But
I mean, I
was going, you,
I was going to
take
God
over
front. Yeah.
Why won't you go get yourself $100? You can sell it. You keep that gun for protection. Your trust in God is not where you stand it is in this moment.
That's it. This is gun. Are we being honest? We just being.
I just said
that's
that.
Not
I said that.
What did you say?
I never want to deny that fact. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, like it goes back, I just got out of work, so I came into conversation at the end. Like I heard y'all talking about existence versus living. So that's why I joined in the conversation. But at the same time,
you made a good point. Check this out. You made a good point. When you said when you equated marijuana and guns together, and I'm gonna tell you why. Guns are something that we have been privy to because, like I said earlier, the government is inadequate and flawed, and they decided to give that privilege to each American or individual. The other side of that is they won't give us something that is naturally grown, which is marijuana, and doesn't hurt anyone. But for some reason, that is denied by the government, but they'd rather tell us, I give you the right to shoot each other.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, though. They're kind of blatant. Number one, I can profit off a gun. I can't profit off marijuana. You can grow that.
Yeah. They don't know how to profit off it yet.
They're trying to figure it out.
Even if they can, I can't profit
off
marijuana.
But in the beginning, that was the understanding. Yeah.
You can't make your own gun. You can grow your own marijuana.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can grow your own that. So that's one reason. Number two, guns kill people. Yeah. Reefer don't. Marijuana don't kill nobody. And never in the history of study have you found one case directly related or linked to the smoking of marijuana in a death. Don't happen. Guns, that's all they do. That's their purpose. I might wound you. I ain't got to kill you, but 9 times out of 10 of them shooting the kid. So those two reasons alone, we can go and find 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different modes. But those two are enough to warrant or legitimize, I'll put it that way, legitimize the government's push for guns. You can't legitimize why you're against reefer, not to me. You can't legitimize that. Now, I want to give Mark and CeCe, I know you're still on the phone, I want to give y'all the opportunity to speak from on the government part in the whole gun control battle. Do you think it's something that they can do and do effectively? Or is it a losing battle? Is it just money being thrown out? Now, I get the points that we made. God is who he is. Guns are what they are. Guns are always going to be in society. They're out there. Ain't no way you're going to take them all away. It's just not going to happen unless you kill everybody. So now, is it a losing battle for the government to fight?
Look, can I ask a question of Garrett before we get into that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Derek, I'm going to hit you with a scenario. So, somebody breaking your house. Somebody breaking your house, and you don't have no gun. Somebody breaking your house, and he got a gun, and you know what I'm saying? I heard you say earlier that if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. But if somebody breaking your house and holding your family, your wife, and your kids at gunpoint, you know what I'm talking about? It's different if I just break in your house and you know what I'm saying, we go to blows, you know what I'm saying, we swinging on each other and let's see who can handle, you know what I'm saying, handle each other. But I'm standing there with a gun in my hand, holding it to your wife's head or holding it to your kid's head. That don't affect you no more, no less than if I was standing there, you know what I'm saying, ready to swing on you.
You saying as far as if you came in unarmed compared to being armed,
yeah,
that has nothing to do with me being armed, though. I understand your point, but, I'll answer your question. Check this out. At the end of the day, if that situation does present itself to me, the first thing I'm going to do is call on Jesus. That's all I ever do. So I'm not going to go get a gun, and you not either. In that moment, you might be looking for your gun, but the first thing you're going to say is, oh, Lord, or good Jesus. That's it. And it's embedded in us so much because that's what you believe. You don't even understand what you're doing, but you're calling on the only person that can save you in that moment.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying it from a standpoint that I don't understand, because now I do. I did say it before and didn't. I understand it so much now that I don't want no goddamn gun. And I said that specifically the way I wanted to, because I got the gun I need. And it's a machete, it's a bazooka, it's all that. All them weapons I told you in the military, all them guns I done shot, the grenades I done throw. All that I done been through, I don't need none of it, because I got God who brought me through all that. And for me, Mark, I mean, at the end of the day, you can bring who the hell you want in my house. I'm going to call on Jesus. That's it, point blank, period. And, I mean, I know that may seem extreme and it may seem far-fetched for a lot of people, but that's just there.
Well, that's called faith, man. That's called faith.
Yeah, that's why I see the conversation. I get it. I understand it. I feel it. But I think at the end of the day, the whole point of it for me is this. Why would I need a gun in the first place? If you harmoniously think the way I think and we all get along, and this is the issue with government, and this is the whole problem. It was a couple of men that sat down 100 and some damn years ago and wrote up something on their thoughts. Their thoughts weren't even the same in it. They fought about putting the Constitution together. So how can you imagine we can stand on something that they couldn't even get right when they was writing? It's just not going to work. We're so different. The only thing we do know is what God told us has come true in every situation, however you see it. So why not follow and trust in Him? This government thing is what got the world messed up. Because the first thing you want to holler, government help, government help. The government can't help gun control. God can help gun control because He's the only gun you need.
Now, okay. My homeboy that went off on you, and you asked for it.
No.
I'm sorry, bro.
He didn't go off on me. You know what I'm saying? He stood his ground and reinforced his point. I don't believe he went off on me. I think he just reinforced what he said.
Come on, man. Don't get in your feelings now. We just talking. That's how we do.
He know. That's my boy, too.
I know.
Check this out.
All day.
Check this out. The conversation, the question was initially on the government's role. We've excluded the government. I see that now. Government ain't got no part in this. We're talking about guns and the problem with guns or the validation of guns. Here's my view of guns as a whole. Guns create cowards. That's how I feel. You don't like it. I don't care. At the end of the day, before guns were so easily dispensable, accessible, might be the right word, you had to think about the problem that you were looking into. Is this problem enough for me to confront? Because I know I might have to end up fighting this person. And now a whole other set of rules come into play. I don't know how fast this person is. I don't know how big this person is. I don't know how strong my jaw is. It's a lot of unknowns. But the moment I have that trigger, none of that matters. You look at me wrong. Ain't nothing to think about. I got a trigger. You say the wrong thing to me. Ain't nothing to think about. I have a trigger. If I feel as though you thinking something wrong, I don't got to think about that. I've already thought enough. I got a trigger. People don't fight. A good butt whooping will change the mentality of a person for life. Trust me, I know. With the issue of guns, with a gun in hand and these 12, 13, 14, 15, and 26, 27, 30, and 50-year-old thugs, quote-unquote. Bunch of cowards. You can walk into a crowd of people and just start shooting with no remorse and no regard to who you shoot. Who may catch that bullet that you're shooting? That's coward activity. Coward. A man will stand and fight. If you get the best of me, you won. I remember a time when we heard the story your uncle was telling us left. If me and you beefing, I ain't going to say we competing. We have a competition over this woman. I want her and you want her. One of us going to win her. We're going to go outside. We're going to figure this out old-fashioned way. One of us will walk away with her, and the other one, all you can do is respect her because you had the same opportunity. When I got a gun and you don't, what is there to respect to? That don't breed respect. That don't make a man. That don't make you. That does nothing. That makes you a coward, to me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It to some people it makes you hard. You real. You know what makes a person shoot into a crowd? Cause I'm a G. I'm a gangster. You know what I'm saying? No, they're not. They're what you call them. They're cowards.
Yeah.
Is what they are. That's what they are. They're cowards. But like every other negative thing within our society, it's glorified.
So much so. I'm sorry. I got to go back. So much so to use so hard, but you can't walk across the street without either A, your gun, or 16
mm-hmm.
people walking
mm-hmm.
with you.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
but you
bad.
Are.
You good
you
bad,
are.
Though. You good bad.
Where there's a man on the other side who can walk anywhere in the world with his lady and his dog and nothing else. That's a G. I go where I want to go. Do what I want to do. I ain't worried about you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not going to start nothing with you, but if you started, I'm not afraid of the confrontation. Whatever. It is what it is. If this is my day, this is my day. I don't need a gun to validate my day, though. The gun ain't going to stop my day from coming, like my own brother told
yeah.
me. So, at the end of the day, what is the purpose of the gun?
It has no purpose.
CC, I want to hear a woman talk about it. Where you at?
I'm here.
Okay. Tell us about the gun. How you feel about the gun?
Well, I want me a .380 myself. But this is the thing. I'm afraid of handguns. I really am. I just think that's just too much power to be in control of. They scare me. I've been to the range. I've only been to the range twice, but it's just too much power packed into a handgun, and that in the hands of the wrong person is reckless. I mean, that's what we see in society, all the casualties. But I like big guns, and I do want me a big gun for the house. You know, it's just me and my baby. But I don't ever want to have to use a gun. I've never had anybody come into my house. You know, that's my prayer. You know, God keep us safe, blah, blah, blah. But
and it's working. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's working because the only thing I have is a butcher knife, a hammer, and a machete. But if somebody come in here with a gun, all
knife,
that is you.
And a machete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
you're
my
right.
little arsenal. That's my little arsenal. My little weapon. But I never ever want to have to use a gun on anybody. I that's something I never ever want to do.
Check this out. I know I was on something, but I want to throw this out. I want to get this in there because we all have this. I got this problem. And I know we all deal with it, but I got a real problem. Cussing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to cuss. I just do. I do. I mean, I love God and everything. Believe me, I do. But I like to cuss. Do you think cussing? I've tried to
research. Where did this come from? I just want to know. Where did this come from?
But I had to...
That's his addiction. We're going back to the addiction thing.
Yeah, but is it detrimental that I cuss? I mean, people understand it a lot better when I cuss than when I talk plain.
Is that true?
I
think they get
what I'm saying.
Get your point across. But
I'm saying like
you asking somebody who's been cussing since they can
right. talk. But we was always told not to cuss. But we never really looked into what's wrong with cussing. It's a way of expressing yourself.
It is, but is it necessary? I don't think it's an issue of right or wrong. It's more so...
So it's not a sin?
I can't answer that. I ain't got... I'm not going to try to answer whether it's a sin or not.
Because see, I take it as, if I say something to you derogatory, if I say something to you to offend or to hurt, it's a sin. Me cussing you don't necessarily entail all that when I cuss, when I talk. I'm not just saying, hey, you MF-er. I'm saying, man, MF-er, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just expressed to you in a manner I wanted to say it in.
And I meant it just that strongly that I had to use those stronger words. But
and if the Bible doesn't say, the blueprint doesn't say that cussing is a sin, why am I being charged for sin?
You might have to search the Bible
out. Who charging you, though?
Well, it's just not acceptable. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, most people, because we've been told it's not appropriate. But why? I mean, I get the vulgar words as into the body. But ass is more acceptable than MF. And I get that too, because I guess that's kind of hard to
it. But, Mark, help me out. Show you out here. Help me out.
Cuss words are like punctuation. It's like, you know, if you, you know what I'm saying, you want to put an exclamation on something that you're saying, that's when you use that curse word. Like, I know you used a lot of curse words on the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying, because that was an amazing moment, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you're stressing your feelings, you know, curse words deemed appropriate, you know what I'm saying? I understand that.
Me personally, I think we curse, or we tend to curse, most times out of a limited vocabulary. Because if I could find a way to say what I'm trying to say.
But I can, don't you?
Well, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't be like, okay, if I'm, man, there's some BS. I can't find a strong enough word to put there besides BS. I don't know. I don't have it in my vocabulary.
Let me give you an example.
This is wrong, this is stupid, this is dumb, this is all this. This really makes me upset, this angers me. No, this is some, and when I say that, you know how much I disagree with what's going on. I can't plug another word in there.
It's all the emphasis that you put on the word, though. I mean, I don't want to get racial or anything, but if a Caucasian man comes to your place of business and he wants to, you know, file a complaint, he may not curse. I can take race out of that. A certain type of person coming here that I'm very upset, I'm very angry, I am dissatisfied, you know, but they put an emphasis behind these words, they get their point across, they upset.
You will sit there and, I'm not going to say you, I will sit there and listen to that.
Yeah.
But the moment you start cursing,
Well, the conversation's over.
We're done.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to go outside? So therefore,
I might come out of it. No,
the conversation
is,
you took it. Then.
The conversation is over.
If that guy can get, and he's not direct cussing or he's non-cussing towards you, but more of the product, you get it.
Yes, because that's unnecessary. Say what you're trying to say, what and all that.
Wait. I'm saying no. He's not cussing. He's just very upset.
He's not cursing.
Right.
No, I just said, I said that.
Then he begins to cuss. He's talking about.
I don't care what you're saying.
But why? He's not directing it towards you. Watching the bottom.
It's disrespectful. You didn't have to do that.
And that's the point. Why is cussing disrespectful?
Because that's the way it was introduced to us.
Right. But now, understanding that, I'm posing the question, why are we accepting that?
Oh, man. Because it is.
Yeah. Cussing is a form of aggression. When you cuss, you are showing your aggression. Whether you are excited, like let's say, you know what I'm saying, we're playing spades and you know what I'm saying, you're like, I'm about to bust your head open to the white meat. You know what I'm saying? That gives you a good feeling, but, you know, you say, man, you know, you're about to be MF set. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole different, you know what I'm saying? Cussing is a form of, like, aggression. You being aggressive when you say that. You know what I'm saying?
Mark, I don't mean to cut you off, but I get this thing. We run out of time. Would you agree aggression can be positive and negative, though?
Yeah, very much so.
Check this. Check me out this real quick, and I'm going to let you. If the same conversation happens,
You're breaking up.
A threatening situation, and somebody's response is, I am really not concerned with you in this moment. Just simple and plain, just like that. Versus, man, mother F what you think. Which one gonna have more of an impact? They both said the same thing, just different ways. I'm really not concerned with what you think. And I mean that from the bottom of me, I said, I'm not concerned with what you think. Or man, mother F what you think. Which one has a bigger impact?
For me, they both have the same impact. You're saying you don't give it, you don't care about what I think.
Yeah, I'm hearing directly.
I'm hearing directly. I'm
nah, because that both, you look at two different responses out of me.
Other F what you think, and or it's like that, so what?
Prior to me coming to this question, though, I would have, now I'm more open to it because I kind of understand it from a different standpoint. All right,
got 30 seconds. Appreciate everybody.
COAB,
out of here.
See
y'all. What it is. Wednesday,
see
Sunday.
Yeah. With that being said, lock your doors. Open your hearts to the Lord. It's Hard Brothers Fair. One Lord, JWJ. Unison. T-O-A-B out.
Running away, but it's not true.